Hey, everybody. We have a gay pride parade in Toronto, a now government-sanctioned gay pride parade, which one time it was not, and now it is government-sanctioned. I always wonder what the how this came to pass. You know, I'm sure it was like, an advisor.
You know, there's quite a few of them, sir. Maybe we should... They do vote as far as... Do we have them voting? Yes, we do.
Yes, I've now come out in favor of your parade. Though I personally won't be attending the parade, I have a sort of a pancake function I have to be at. But I wish you well with your parade and your floats, or do you call them something gayer? I'm not certain, but I wish you luck is what I'm saying. Send me the tape of it. I really wonder. I heard somebody say on the radio that a gay pride parade was obnoxious, which I thought was a strange word anyway, obnoxious. And I thought, you know what would be really obnoxious? A heterosexual pride parade. Can you imagine the sleazy fellas hanging around this parade? You know, come here. Give me a kiss. Come on, it's a big celebration. Are you not proud, or... I don't drink a lot, but I do enjoy on occasion having, mostly a beer. Or I have a friend of mine who's really into wine. He knows a lot about wine. He's a wine connoisseur or maven, whatever the hell that means. I should look that up. You know? A man who lies about his knowledge of wine is to be known as a maven. Wine. It's funny, he collects wine. Which is a funny thing to me, collecting wine. Now, if you had in your basement, let's say, 48 bottles of rum, wouldn't you just be a drunk? If it's wine, you are somehow, you know, with it. I always wonder why or how sometimes people drink certain drinks. You know, I think we're all familiar with, you know, beer and wine and of that ilk. But who drinks creme de menthe on purpose? Does anybody actually look forward to that drink? You know, I've been working hard all week. I'm having creme de menthe tonight. Oh, and I need lots of it. I want to come home sticky. You've made a wise decision then. First time I had a drink in a lounge or a sort of a fancy bar. I was just of legal drinking age, and I wanted to not have the very typical beer. I thought I would have something a little more upscale or classy, which actually I love that word, classy. Classy. Usually people use that word to say stuff like, she's a classy broad, huh? I love that as a response for yes, by the way. Uh-huh! There's no root of a word there at all. Uh-huh! And there's actually a negative, too. Uh-uh! We are closer to our cave cousins than we realize, I think. So I get into this bar, and the guy says, what do you have? And he actually said, what do you have? So I was thrilled. What do you have? And I said, you know what? I'll have a martini. And I didn't even know what was in one. So I asked one, and he said, you know, how do you want it? And I said, well, just make it the most traditional way. And so he got the fancy glass out, which I think is very appealing to most people. It's the universal sign of alcohol. If you're in an airport, there's no words. Just that martini glass and an arrow. You know, booze this away. I mean, there's... Hey. We got the hooch. I mean, that's... We're not kidding around. And he told me that martini is made with gin, plenty of gin, and a very small amount of dry vermouth, an Italian liquor, which is horrible. And the people that make it know it's horrible, too, because on the back of the bottle, there's all kinds of serving suggestions that you'd never in your life involve yourself with, you know? Have it with grapefruit juice at a brunch. Oh, I know. I'm not going to that brunch. Rub it on your arm after a workout. Put it in the fridge in lieu of baking soda. We're having a thimbleful in our lifetime. You better just accept you have a weak product. Now, when you have a martini, you want to have it dry. That's what they always tell you. And is there anything worse than that kind of humor? I'll have it dry humor. Oh, I'll have mine dry. Make mine dry. Make mine. Oh, I want it so dry that I will need a beverage after I have it. That is how dry and dry I am. I am one droll bastard, aren't I? Look at me. Oh, if only I could accept that I'm gay, but I cannot. It's a facade I must continue. The less vermouth, the drier the drink. The less vermouth, the drier the drink. So my thought was, why put any vermouth in at all? Would that not be ultimately dry at that point? But the problem is, it is no longer a martini. It is then a glass of gin. And there's a fine line between beverage connoisseur and hobo. This is sort of an old-style suit. You know what I love about the old 40s and 50s suits? Is the fly is just tremendous. Is that not remarkable? Is that not unbelievable? What kind of clearance do they need? Do you need that much room? I mean, who are you kidding? You know? Flipping like a flag on a pole. I mean, you know. It's funny when people compliment you in a way that they say that you look like somebody famous. And it's funny because you only want to say it if it's somebody, you know, of course, very attractive, complimentary. And also, if they actually do look like that person. Because what I often want to say to people is, that, you know what, you look a lot like Paul Newman if everything in his life went wrong. If all his hopes and dreams hadn't come to fruition, you look like that guy. You look kind of like an alcoholic Paul Newman. That's what you look like. You know, Hitler has pretty much put the kibosh on that mustache style. Have you noticed that? There is nobody wearing the Hitler mustache anymore. That guy ruined it for everybody. I had a strange indulgence the other day. I had a chicken pot pie, and not even a good one. I had like a 49-cent chicken pot pie. Should that be considered dinner? It should be more than the price of the paper to be 49 cents. I have it in the oven, and it's cooking away. And I know it's cooking properly because that stuff is coming to the surface. That greeny, gray sauce. Gravy? What is it? Roux? I don't know what the technical term is. It's heading north, right? So, and also, you know, I'm kidding myself that this is a convenience food. Doesn't it taste like take like an hour and a half to cook this frozen piece of lard? How convenient is that, you know? Speckled trout is like 15 minutes in a fry pan. This is... So while it's cooking, I'm looking at the side panel, the ingredients. I'm curious to see what I'm about to ingest. And it starts fine. It's like peas and carrots and onions and flour. Mechanically separated chicken, which, I don't know, that really conjures up an image in the factory, you know? Is that a necessary procedure? Or is that just for the amusement of the employees? The worst thing I've ever seen, chicken-wise, if that's actually a way to say something, The worst thing I've ever seen chicken-wise was in the like in the canned food section of a supermarket. One of those, you know, apple juice size cans, like a 48-ounce size can. The label said inside was a fully cooked whole chicken. So I had to give that a shake. A very memorable sound. Just imagine that coming out of a can onto a plate. Big poultry splash all over. Now, they tell you why you want their product. That's always the way. On the label, it says it's good for picnics, after school snacks. Wouldn't that be nice? You know? Kids! Oh, and their little eyes are just lighting up, you know? It's the chicken. It's the chicken, man, I told you. Kids are coming home. Mom, Billy's house has canned chicken. Well, we're not Billy's house. They're rich. My favorite is it's good for unexpected guests. Oh, that'd get rid of them. Chicken comes out, you know, what the hell time is this? No, we have to go. We really have to. No, let us go. I was listening to an old radio station before I came out here, and it was an AM radio station, and it was one of those music of your life, but not your life, like, you know, others who had more interesting wartime lives. People who conquered and did a lot of things and used leaded gas, those kind of lives. And the song was, you've heard the expression, here's mud in your eye? The song was, here's love in your eye. Isn't that a sweet song? Here's love in your eye. It's filthy, but it's sweet. AM radio. But I tend to listen to the oldie stations. That's what I enjoy. Because I love the ads for oldie shows. All the one-hit wonder bands that are continuing to tour because they are broke. They have some kind of... They had some horrible deal with their record label, and they... They're not even sure if they're allowed to do their own music. You know, that's how horrible the situation is. Are we even allowed to do our stuff? Or what can we even... Well, it's come... Yes, you can do, you know, Blue Spanish Eyes. That's allowed. We don't do Blue Spanish Eyes. But you hear the ads, and you're suspicious of the originality as far as the members are concerned. When you hear the ad, you know, this week at Lulu's in Kitchener, it's Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, only now the drummer's the lead singer. The man who did no singing in the 60s at all now fronts the band. Come on down and try and decipher your favorite songs. But I do feel that I like a lot of different stuff. I mean, I grew up with, of course, rock and roll music and stuff. But I do enjoy some of the older standard stuff. I love Frank Sinatra, and I've actually had the pleasure of seeing him on a few occasions, the last of which was about 3 years ago at a place in Hamilton, Ontario, the Cops Coliseum, which I just love the fact it's called the Coliseum. I'm sure that's what the Romans had in mind, an orange-seated hockey rink. And some people said, oh, you're going to see Sinatra, and I'm sure that'll be great. I hear he's lost it, and that's, you know, he can't even, you know, remember the words or so forth, which, you know, he was actually a lot better than you would imagine. He was actually quite good. He was very, lucid. I don't know. A lot of toasting, which I'm not sure if that was for our benefit or his. A lot of, and to good health. This one's to all the mothers. Oh, God bless the mothers. Did I mention your health at all? Did I? All right, the health before this song, then. A few glitches in the show. You know, understandable. He's an 80-year-old man. Luck be a monkey tonight. Here's the worst part of the show. The opening act was unbelievable. The show business wafting off these people. Steve and Edie. Does that, you ever heard of them? Steve Lawrence? Oh, my. Oh. Just, especially Steve. Oh, with those giant chiclets looking at you. Just, oh, huge. The insincerity is remarkable. It's actually commendable in some sick way, you know? And he loves dropping Frank's name, too, like we had no idea he knew him, you know, travels with him, you know. I was talking to Frank before the show, and then when Frank and I were having dinner, and, you know, I said to Francis, Francis, he must know him, it's Francis! He has his wife on stage with him, Edie Gourmet. Wrap your head around that name, Edie Gourmet. It's not even her name. She changed it for show business. Her real name is Virginia Heartthrob. Isn't that odd that you would change it to E.D.? He's so complimentary to her on stage. And I think he's complimentary in a very suspicious, guilty conscience, a little cheating in the 50s. There may be a book forthcoming type of politeness. You know, a lot of, am I a lucky guy or what? A lot of that, am I a lucky guy? And he's always laughing when nothing funny is going on. You know, like the way grandparents will do that when they see you. You know, oh, Billy, how are you? Come on in. He says it a lot of times, too, because, you know, initially I don't want to judge this woman's appearance, you know, but he's begging me to with this am I a lucky guy or what nonsense, man. And you look over at Edie, and Edie's wearing this giant kimono. And you're just wondering what kind of physical hell is being concealed. Singing all your favorite songs, too. Clang, clang, clang goes the trolley. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, I paid $90 to see Sinatra, and I might leave. Unless that train comes to station shortly. If you have the time, and it's not too crowded, it's actually quite a lot of fun to travel on a train. And I was on one very recently, about a four-hour train trip. And I had a woman in front of me sitting with her daughter, maybe 5 years old, at that age anyway where you need a lot of attention. Child needs a lot of attention, you know. So she read a book to the child, and she read her The Little Engine That Could. Very clever. We're on a train. It's about a train, right? And I recall that story from my youth. I just don't remember it being that long and boring. Oh, my God, that story goes on forever. Will the engine make it? Could the engine make it? Make it, little engine. And of course it's going to make it. It's a child's book. You know? And then the engine blew up. Well, I got a book here about snakes biting children. Here we go. It's actually quite graphic. Look, the child's your age. I enjoy this city so much, Toronto. I really do. There's lots to enjoy. It is a big city, and there are reminders of people less fortunate than ourselves, which is some days when you're bitching about nothing in particular, it's quite annoying to see people that are worse off than you. You know, you're bitching about, the dry cleaner broke a button, and there's a guy with no head. You know? You're annoyed because you had a good bitch fest going on, right? You know? What are you doing here to ruin my complaining by being worse off? And I'm not giving money to homeless people lately. And it's not because I'm not caring. It's this, that I can pass 20 people on a 20-minute walk. And I can't give money to everybody. And I don't want to judge people as they approach me. You know, you can't go, no, you look like you caused your own misery. Oh, no, you're good and pathetic. Look at you. You look like hell. Here you go. Here you go. Here's my advice to you. Keep that sweater. That's your bread and butter. That sweater elicits sympathy. When these people approach me on the street, I would rather have them be caustic and angry Because for a couple of reasons. One, it makes sense. They live outside. They're all twitchy from the elements and whatever kind of booze substitute is coursing through their veins, namely household cleaners, which I honestly, how naive am I? I didn't believe that when I first read that report. Oh, come on. One guy. You know, I didn't believe it. And then my mind started to, you know, I put myself in their place, and it's so stupid, the things you think. You know, I think, oh, what would be my preference if I was on the street having solvents? Something lemony, I think I would have. Something like, Mr. Clean, I think, in fact, would be... And also, it alleviates my guilt if they're rude to me. That helps. You know, no, screw you. You know, that helps. Oh, I hate when they're polite and nice. You know, excuse me, sir, can you spare some change today? I'm sorry, not today. God bless you. It just sticks to the back of your neck for the rest of the day. You know, you did nothing for me, and I blessed you. Let's total it up. Zero, bless. Because I'm walking by with a $9 Häagen-Dazs bar. No, not today. Well, that's tough for everybody, eh? You guys have been a wonderful crowd. Thanks a lot. We'll see you again. Yeah.